Hello and welcome to this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College.
And I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
The last few podcasts, we've been talking about human development and how human development affects what we do in our religious education programs. We've talked about how children and teenagers develop in predictable ways as they grow up. But what about those children who don't fit neatly into the typical patterns of human development?
That's a key question, isn't it? What do we do when we have a child in a religious education program who cannot read or who does not have the social skills that his or her peers have? What do we do then? Well, first of all, let's make a distinction between learning disabilities, like not being able to read at grade level, with broader developmental delays. And I'd like to start with learning disabilities. One of the things that we can do really well in our religious education programs is that we can fully integrate children with learning disabilities. If we're doing an activity that asks children to read something, we can easily set things up so that not everyone has to read. For example, if I'm leading an activity where I want children to read aloud, I'll say, "Is there anyone who wants to read aloud?" I'll ask for volunteers. I will not require every child to read aloud. And this ties in with one of the most important things we are trying to teach children, which is how to work well in a group. In weekday schools, children are mostly judged and assessed on their individual performance. But in our congregation, we are much more interested in teaching children how to work together, how to figure out who in the group is good at doing what, and then combining our individual skills and talents into group projects.
Now, we want every child to know some basic facts about our religion, right? That's one of our big four goals, isn't it?
Well, yes, but actually what I want is for each child to be exposed to some basic facts about religion. And then later, if she or he should happen to need those facts, I want that child to know where to go to get the facts. You can ask your Sunday school teacher, you can ask your minister, you can ask your friends at Sunday school.
Now, we've been talking about learning disabilities, but what about broader developmental delays? For example, what about a child with Down syndrome? Can that child be fully integrated into Sunday school?
I've had children with Down syndrome in Sunday school, and it's not that big an issue. Depending on that child's individual needs, we might assign that child a buddy to be with him or her in Sunday school. The times we really run into problems is when a child has serious problems in social settings, severe autism, for example, or certain childhood mental illnesses where the child simply cannot function well in a group of peers. Then we may want to create a situation where that child has an individual program with sympathetic and personal adult supervision.
We're getting a little away from the developmental delays into other special needs, aren't we? Let's save that topic for another time and get back to developmental issues. Do you have some practical advice for teachers and advisors?
Yes. When we're leading Sunday school groups or youth groups, we should not assume that every child can read or do math or even have the fine muscle coordination to draw well. And we're not judging children as to whether they can read well or not. For those of us who are doing religious education, we should remember that developmental stages are merely a tool that we use, nothing more.
Can you say something more about that?
Well, from a religious point of view, we value the inherent worth and dignity of all human beings, right? So maybe one child can't read because of serious dyslexia, but from our point of view, dyslexia does not reduce a child's inherent worth and dignity. In a school setting, a child with dyslexia might feel that they have less inherent worth and dignity. They might be told they're different from other kids, they're not at grade level, they might get the impression they're not as good as the other kids. So I remember one child I had in a Sunday school years ago. She had serious learning disabilities. She was in the sixth grade, and basically she could not read. Believe me, her self-esteem took a beating every single day at school. But then she'd come to church, and everyone treated her like a human being. It was not something she got anywhere else except from her parents. So she absolutely thrived at church, and she grew up to be very active in the youth group. And I sometimes wonder what would have happened to her if she hadn't had the church. Her self-esteem was so low, and kids with low self-esteem can wind up getting involved in risky behaviors in early adolescence. So because of this and other experiences, I'm actually critical of how much we tend to rely on developmental theory.
In what ways are you critical?
Well, when you're talking about developmental stages, sometimes it almost seems as though young children who are in early stages of development might be seen as not fully human. Because from a religious point of view, if we're talking about humans developing, what are they developing from? And before they finish developing, are they not fully human? So we have to be really careful and remember that developmental stages show us how persons grow and change over time. But those persons are always fully human through those growth and changes. Now also, from a religious point of view, the religious education theorist Gabriel Moran has pointed out that little kids can have these amazing transcendental experiences. So Gabriel Moran is a Christian, and he thinks of transcendent experiences as experiences of God or the divine. And he says, while we usually think of human beings as having a linear development, starting out as young, incompletely formed children, and gradually turning into adults who are fully human through this linear process, instead of that linear development, Moran suggests that those of us who are doing religious education might want to think of human beings as circling around the divine, sometimes getting closer, sometimes finding ourselves farther away, no matter what age we're at. Now, we Unitarian Universalists might not talk about God, but we do talk about transcendent experiences. So some of us might want to say we circle around the transcendent, whatever that is, sometimes getting closer, sometimes farther away. Either way, it's not a linear development at all. A 7-year-old child with dyslexia might in fact be closer to the transcendent, whatever that is, than I am at age 49.
So to sum up then, it sounds like developmental stage theory is useful sometimes, but we have to remember that above all, every child has inherent worth and dignity, and we can't let developmental stage theory get in the way of that for us. That's it for this week's podcast on children's religious education at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Palo Alto. Thanks for listening. We welcome listeners' comments. Send us your thoughts and feedback by email or post a comment on our blog at paloaltocre.wordpress.com.
I'm Dan Harper, Assistant Minister of Religious Education.
And I'm Joe Chi, a member of the church's CRE committee and a teacher educator at Foothill College. Take care and be well.